Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
There are a lot of questions as we head towards the primary election in less than 2 weeks, some wilder than others. Has the Pope endorsed a candidate for Colorado's 8th congressional district? Has a former president endorsed a candidate for governor? What about a U.S. Supreme Court justice who died in 2020? The answer is no, no, and no. But you wouldn't necessarily know that based on the political ads that they're in. Here's Marshall Zellinger.
Here are very troubling accounts of algorithms.
You gotta have more leaders like Michael Bennett.
Philip Weiser. He goes for it.
None of the people on these screens have endorsed a candidate in Colorado. Yet the Pope is in a political ad for Democrat Manny Rutinel in the 8th Congressional District. President Obama is featured in an ad paid for by Michael Bennett. And late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg appears in an ad paid for by Phil Weiser. The ad with the Pope is paid for by a political action committee called You Can Push Back.
Manny took on the AI companies. Don't let them defeat him.
Artificial intelligence needs to be disarmed.
The group behind the ad is funded by California tech billionaire Chris Larson, who has spent close to $1 million on ads for Rutinel in his race against Shannon Byrd in the Democratic primary to take on Republican Congressman Gabe Evans. The Colorado Catholic Conference responded to the ad saying the Catholic Church in Colorado and the Vatican do not endorse Manny Rutinel or any political candidate.
And Colorado, that's precisely the kind of leader he's going to continue to be.
No, this is not President Obama endorsing Bennett for governor. This is from 2010, when Obama was in Denver supporting Bennett's first Senate campaign. I asked the Bennett campaign repeatedly if Obama had endorsed Bennett. I did not get a yes or no answer. I know the answer is no, because Bennett has a website filled with endorsements, and if Obama was one of them, it would probably be prominent and first. Under former electeds, there's no name that starts with Barack and no name that starts with president.
Bravo, Phil.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Supreme Court justice who died in 2020, also has not endorsed in the race for governor. In this ad, the Weiser campaign uses footage from an RBG video message that played after he was elected attorney general in 2019. On screen, it says mentored by RBG, and the campaign admits it is not an endorsement. Separate from those ads, there's a ballot measure that voters will see in November about a change to the state constitution to have law enforcement alert ICE when they arrest someone for a violent crime or if that person has a prior felony and that person's legal status is uncertain. The ballot measure is from the conservative group Advance Colorado, which has this internal memo about frequently asked questions, and you can't quite see it, but it's with quotes from elected leaders, mostly Democrats. But the governor, Congressman Crow, Mayor Johnston, Weiser, they're all on here. They all confirm they do not support the initiative. And the header up here says, is this measure only supported by conservatives? Question mark, followed by these quotes from Democrats. Advance Colorado tells me they're not claiming they endorse the measure, and that this is just for internal supporters to review.
But let's be honest, when you're looking at those ads, the candidates want you to think that those people are supporting them, right? I mean, like, they aren't loving what you're doing here with this story.
Let's put it this way. Again, I asked the Bennett campaign, do you have an endorsement from President Obama? And I got a word salad statement, and when I followed up, it's a yes or no question. Do you have one or not? And I didn't get a no. Yes, to your question, that's what they want you to believe.
It's a yes or no question, and Marshall Zellinger is going to ask them. Appreciate it. Fort Collins has joined Denver and Longmont in ditching flock surveillance cameras over privacy concerns. City Council voted 6-1 last night, immediately canceling the contract with the company. Fort Collins police say right after the meeting, they were able to stop getting data and sending data from the cameras to the flock system. The city is now navigating whether it wants to contract with a different surveillance company. The police department is working on a surveillance policy that they say would place parameters on any future contracts.
Because technology is changing so rapidly, we didn't want to just go with a different company and then have the same issues or concerns from the public.
We've been operating for more than 100 years without flock. We'll be just fine.
We saw Denver ditch flock and then immediately go over to Axon. Fort Collins owns 14 of the 50-plus flock cameras in their town. Those are the ones impacted by the decision. The rest of the flock cameras up in northern Colorado in that area are privately owned. So the Democrats running for their party's nomination for attorney general are wrestling with the balance between civil liberties and crime fighting. It comes as those communities, like Fort Collins, weigh whether they want Flock cameras on their streets. Tonight, we'll hear from three of them on the topic. Jenna Griswold has declined to answer questions on any topic from us. Kyle Clark has tonight's next conversation with workers' rights attorney David Seligman, former federal prosecutor Hedel Doshi, and Boulder DA Michael Doherty.
Do Flock cameras and other surveillance cameras keep people safer?
I don't think so. I don't think the way they're being used now, at the very least, right?
Law enforcement says they're essential to solve crime.
Yeah, here's what I'll say about that. The way they're being used now, very often with law enforcement accessing this data without a warrant, which I think, based on, and you know, I mean, it could depend from jurisdiction to jurisdiction and how they're using these cameras, but based on what we're seeing in lots of parts of the state, I think that violates Colorado constitutional protections, and I think that's something we ought to take on. And I'm deeply concerned about this marriage of big tech and local law enforcement surveillance. I am open to the possibility that some of these tools, when used in accordance with the Constitution, could serve really valuable and important purposes, but I don't think we're seeing that right now.
I think that the questions around surveillance that are posed by Flock or Axon or any of those surveillance systems are a subset of a much bigger problem, which is the widespread collection of data about Americans writ large by private companies, and then the sale and commodification of that data, whether it's to the federal government or to the other companies. And so that is why my background and experience in having taken on big tech in the most consequential battles of our time and succeeding really matters, because it makes me an authoritative voice, not just here in Colorado on this issue, but more nationally as well, in making sure that any big tech company that seeks to provide those types of products here in Colorado know they have a formidable adversary in me in terms of making sure that Coloradans are protected.
Did you support the legislation the Democrats tried to and didn't muster enough support for in the last legislative session that would have required judicial warrants for access to surveillance camera systems?
I did not.
And why did you not support that?
Because I think that there are problems with respect to the constitutionality of some of that legislative effort. And I also think that there needs to be additional clarity around appropriate uses of information by law enforcement.
I think the bill went too far in requiring law enforcement to get warrants to access information they already had. So it was trying to capture every type of camera that law enforcement has access to and requiring them to get warrants for that. I think that's something that can and should, and as Attorney General, I promise you, will be worked out in the future.
What does a better compromise look like?
A better compromise, for example, would be a camera system that's run solely by the law enforcement agency, that they have it locked down, that how they run that system is transparent with the community, that the community is aware of what the cameras are being used for, and that it's used for traffic enforcement or serious criminal violations, but not for anything related to ICE and nothing related to violating people's privacy rights.
You can see Kyle's full interviews with David Seligman, Hedel Doshi, and Michael Doherty on the Next YouTube channel. Tomorrow on Next, the candidates discuss whether Jenna Griswold's thin legal resume qualifies her to be attorney general. State prosecutors said today that they are appealing the recent decision to vacate convictions against the paramedics who injected Elijah McClain with ketamine before his death. It's been nearly 7 years since McClain died. He was walking home from a convenience store doing nothing wrong when three officers stopped and subdued him. Then paramedics injected McClain with ketamine. He died 3 days later at the hospital. A grand jury indicted the three officers and the three paramedics. Juries convicted one of the two officers and two paramedics. 2 weeks ago, the Colorado Appeals Court tossed the paramedics' convictions of criminally negligent homicide, ruling that the judge improperly withheld jury instructions sought by their attorneys. The state is now appealing that decision to the Colorado Supreme Court. Each week, even when Kyle's gone, Next viewers have chipped in $5 at a time to support a variety of causes helping our neighbors across the state. And this week, we can help provide no-cost groceries to families in Denver's Sun Valley neighborhood. Here's Kyle with an update on this week's Word of Thanks.
Thanks for being with Next while I'm away. Let's do some good in Colorado together. Your Word of Thanks microgiving campaigns have raised $18 million over 6 years. And this week, in collaboration with our 9 Cares Colorado Shares food drive, let's help feed families in Denver. The nonprofit Sun Valley Kitchen and Community Center is fighting hunger in the shadow of Mile High. Few neighborhoods in Denver have more challenges than Sun Valley. It is also seeing new investment, a redevelopment effort near the Broncos Stadium that's doubling the size of that neighborhood. Much of the new builds are affordable housing. Sun Valley Kitchen and Community Center is seeing new faces and old friends struggling to get by with the high cost of housing. So the nonprofit offers freshly made meals plus bags of groceries for families that would otherwise go without. The meals are made by young people that they employ from that very neighborhood. Sun Valley Kitchen and Community Center is not some mega food bank. It's a neighborhood-based effort to serve one of the highest need communities in Denver. What that means is that the generosity that we will gather from every corner of this state will help sustain their no-cost grocery and meals programs for years. That's going to make an enormous impact as that neighborhood and their need grow. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491 to get the link to donate. Even $5 helps, and you know the deal. I'll never ask you to give to a cause I don't support myself, so I'll match the first 50 donations of $5 to get us rolling. Just shy of 8,000 of you have signed up to make a monthly donation to the Word of Thanks Fund. You put in your info one time. Every month, that donation's automatically split among all the nonprofits we feature. And recently, that has added almost $50,000 to every weekly campaign.
It felt like the inside of a hairdryer outside today. Hot and windy. Crispy Donkey is definitely feeling a little crispy tonight. And he has more on if the heat and wind continues.
Knowingly and intentionally putting it into the middle of an animal sanctuary is irresponsible.
This man says poles from a telecommunications company are dripping poison into his sanctuary, and he worries about the long-term effects. Next. It was hot, windy, and dry out there today. Chris Bianchi joining us this evening. Chris, we really had all the ingredients for a really bad fire day, and luckily we haven't seen any of those fire starts today.
Today was a knock on wood day, and it looks like we are going to. It's still a little early, but the worst, the wind is done, and it does appear that we've escaped a major fire start today, which is good news. I was pretty concerned about today because of this. This is unusually strong wind for this time of year, some 60 to even close to 80 mile an hour gusts this morning. So if we had had a fire start, it could have been a pretty bad go of things, but it's still 6:15. Fire weather warning goes till 9 p.m. tonight, but the wind will calm down notably for tomorrow. So that's why, again, we're past the worst of the wind. Still some gusty conditions through the evening, but again, the worst of the wind is done. And then tonight it really relaxes. Tomorrow a little bit breezy, but not nearly as windy as it was today. Other story, the heat. 106 in Pueblo, your hottest temperature in almost 2 years. Hottest June temperature since 2018. And Grand Junction, your first 100 plus of the year, about 2 weeks earlier than average for your first 100 plus readings in both Pueblo and in Grand Junction today. In Denver, we topped that in the low 90s. We'll stay around 94 tomorrow and Friday, and then low 90s again for Saturday. We start to cool down early to mid next week with temperatures dropping to the 80s with storms Monday and Tuesday.
A hot day like today calls for a little poetry from our man in the elements. Here's Corey Reppenhagen serving up 17 syllables.
Corey Reppenhagen is on the weather beat.
Heat, wind, and dry skies. Weather threatens summer fun. Dancing for rain clouds.
That was Corey Reppenhagen on the Weather Beat.
Well done, Mr. Reppenhagen. Coming up, dozens of animals roam this animal sanctuary, and the owner says a dripping liquid from above could be threatening their livelihood. From wolves to tortoises, an animal sanctuary in Boulder County was built to give rescued creatures a safe place to live. But its owner says a new unwelcome arrival is now threatening that mission. Evan Crudel explains.
The foothills of Boulder County are filled with wildlife, but there aren't many places someone can see a wolf and a tortoise roaming together.
This is all mowed by the tortoises, by the way. I haven't used a weed eater or a lawnmower on my property in over a decade.
For Nico Novelli, this place isn't about making money. It's about giving animals of all shapes and sizes a second chance.
I could build a house on that property for what I spend feeding these tortoises, but I do it out of passion and love.
His Coal Creek Canyon Sanctuary was designed with safety in mind, but last year...
Yeah. That's some of the poison coming out.
He noticed something dripping off a CenturyLink telephone pole that had recently been replaced on his property.
And it's literally, you can see the video, literally dripping down.
After calling the company who manufactured the pole, Nico now believes that toxin is pentachlorophenol, a common industrial wood preservative that's since been banned by the EPA due to health risks, including cancer. He's now in the process of getting that confirmed through an environmental consultant. Companies like CenturyLink can continue treating poles with it until next year.
They were legally still allowed to use the product. That's fine. But knowingly and intentionally putting it into the middle of an animal sanctuary is irresponsible, to put it mildly.
CenturyLink says they've offered to remove the poles, but their offer has been declined. Nico says he wants more done than just removal.
It's all drained down into my soil. They want to take the poles out and fill the holes with dirt, leaving all that banned pesticide in my soil, literally using my private property animal sanctuary as their toxic waste dump.
Now, prior to being banned by the EPA, that wood preservative was used on about 60% of utility poles in the country, so it's quite common. It's also common for those poles to bleed or sweat during the hot summer months, but documented cases of it causing actual problems remain very rare across the country. Mark Nico says no animals have gotten sick yet, but he's, of course, still worried that could still happen.
And then there's the back and forth of trying to get it fixed, right?
Lots of back and forth. He wants them to remove the poles and then dig into the ground and move all of that dirt. They're saying they'll just remove the poles. We'll see, certainly follow this and see where it ends up.
Sure. Evan Crudel reporting. Thank you. Coming up, it's our favorite part of the show. Your feedback is next. Thank you, Spencer.
You're welcome, Mark.
Thanks for being with Next while I'm away. This week's Word of Thanks microgiving campaign is again fighting hunger in Colorado. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491 to join me and a bunch of others in giving to the Sun Valley Kitchen and Community Center. The low-income neighborhood of Sun Valley near Mile High, the Bronco Stadium, it's doubling in size due to a redevelopment project that's adding affordable housing. So that longtime nonprofit is there to make sure that no one in the community goes hungry, offering freshly made meals and no-cost groceries.
We like to end our shows in the most Colorado way possible. So the most Colorado thing that we saw today is a true Colorado walk. Why walk one dog when you can walk 12? Hey, it's hot out there today. You got to walk them while you can. Thanks for sending that picture in. Your feedback tonight. Someone texts in saying it's disgusting and should be made illegal to falsely present untrue political ads. Have you seen how many political ads are on our airwaves right now? Marshall Zellender is a busy man telling you what's true and what's not. Thanks for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News. Streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.